Good evening. Today is Sunday, May 2nd, 2021. This is Carl James of Talking Hoosier Baseball. The Indiana Hoosiers defeated the Iowa Hawkeyes 12-8 today. The victory clinched a series victory for the Hoosiers over the Iowa Hawkeyes, and the Indiana Hoosiers also took first place in the Big Ten standings. After the game, the media got a chance to talk to catcher Colin Hopkins, pitcher Gabe Bierman, and head coach Jeff Mercer. Colin Hopkins was first up. Colin Hopkins hit three doubles on the day to bring his season total to 9.
Colin, congratulations on the great day.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. If what I'm looking at in the stats is correct, you have actually matched Kyle Schwarber and Mickey Morandini on the single-season Big Ten doubles list for an Indiana player. What's going on with all these doubles?
I'm just trying to put the barrel on the ball, to be quite honest with you, and running, seeing where it goes. That's just as simple as I can put it.
All right, Aaron, and then we'll go to John.
Colin, I much want to expand on what Carl asked you. What have you done differently in the last few weeks? Your average was like down to 0.70. You're well over 200 now and have been red hot. What have you changed at the plate to suddenly hitting the ball, cover off the ball after not hitting the ball much at all earlier in the year outside of the clutch home runs?
Really just gotten comfortable. That's really the main influence there. But just staying simple. Like I said, my swing is in a really good spot thanks to Merce and the coaching staff trying to get me there. So I'm just really trying to stay simple and short and quick to the ball. So seeing it well, and it's just about how it's going right now.
All right, John, and then Tom.
Just wanted to go back to the first inning. You had a meeting at the mound with Gabe after he kind of had a couple kind of shaky batters. Kind of what was going through your mind in terms of why you went out there at that moment, and what did you tell him to really help him kind of settle in there?
Well, Coach Parker and I are usually on the same page about stuff. I wanted to go talk to him. He told me to go talk to him, so we were on the same page there. But I told him to just stay simple, keep coming to the plate, because sometimes pitchers get a little wonky with their mechanics and stuff. And I'm there to check him and let him know what I see, nothing too crazy. So he really buckled down, made adjustments there, and gave us a great start.
Go ahead, Tom.
Colin, for the first game at your career here at Indiana, you had the whole family here to watch you and put on a good performance for them. How much added emphasis of the enjoyment level does that matter for you?
Oh, it matters. It means the entire world to me that they're here and got to see me play. My brother and sister coming up. It's great. I got a big family. My stepmom, stepdad, my mom, dad, everybody. My girlfriend's there too. It was just phenomenal to see everybody that's in my corner there to support me. So I'm glad that I had a game today.
And we know all about you and Bryson, of course, but is it true that Gentry is actually the best athlete in the family?
Oh, hands down, yes. She is ridiculous. She's on the UT dance team. She can do backflips after backflips from pirouettes and stuff. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, but I'm still the best dancer, but it's fine.
John?
You took a ball, I think, on the inside of your equipment kind of in the late innings. What happened there? What did that feel like? Because it seemed like you weren't going to get up there for a little bit.
It felt absolutely horrible. It's just on the part of the knee pad that doesn't have much padding, and it was right on the joint. It didn't feel very good. Just kind of skipped and got up on me. It just stung for a second. I've had those in the past as well. So just a matter of just waiting there for a second, feeling how it is, and thank God nothing was wrong. So just got back up and continued to play.
All right.
Next up was starting pitcher Gabe Bierman. Gabe produced 6.0 innings, giving up 4 runs, 3 of them earned, 5 hits, only 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts on the day. Gabe Bierman did get the win in the Hoosiers' victory over Iowa.
Gabe, it seems like all week Iowa hitters have been actually quite good at not swinging at stuff out of the zone. Did you see that, and did that have to change kind of how you threw to them?
Honestly, like I've been, you know, throwing my off speed for strikes lately, and been working on it a lot and like bullpens and stuff. So that stuff doesn't really scare me. I mean, I still have good enough stuff to get them to swing and miss. So like I said, I'm not really worried about that. I just got to keep working on throwing strikes.
Tom and then Aaron.
Yesterday, Jeff was talking a lot about how you benefit a lot on Sundays from having to be able to stand next to Coach Parker for a couple of days and watch these Iowa hitters hit. Can you talk a little bit about just the learning experience over the course of the weekend and how that helps you today?
I mean, honestly, I'm just there taking chart. I like to look at the hitters and like focus on their tendencies and what they can do, especially when guys like John and Braden Tucker come in, sinker ballers with a slider and a Braden Tucker with a changeup. I like to see how those hitters do against him and then see if I can make an adjustment early on and get on top of them.
I know you don't notice, but Nebraska and Michigan are down very big in their last inning. So how big would it be to take the Big Ten lead if that holds for half an inning again, which will happen if that occurs?
I mean, all I can say is it's going to be huge. We just got to hold on to it as long as we can.
John and then Tom.
Just want to ask you about the first inning. The first couple of batters was a little shaky, but then Colin came out and talked to you at the mound. It seemed like you settled down right after that. So, I mean, was some of the words he said to you pretty good? I mean, is he just good at kind of settling you down in situations like that? How much did it help to have that break there?
It wasn't really like a nervous situation. I mean, I've been through it before. It's just, you know, when he comes out there, he just wants to settle me down and, you know, focus on what I need to do to get the ball over the plate. Honestly, it's just an adjustment in my mechanics, you know, just going towards the plate, like you said, and, you know, let my stuff work. In the past, I've had trouble with that and not made adjustments, but, you know, I'm all grown up now and you just gotta focus on, you know, making adjustments throughout the game.
All right. Last one for Gabe comes from Tom.
Gabe, we talked about this a few weeks back, but, this Sunday start, final game of series and all that stuff was, you know, sort of extra on the line. You seem to really be relishing that this year. I mean, how much do you enjoy being that Sunday guy and winning a series like this today?
I mean, I'm going to say the same thing to you I said last time. I mean, it's just another spot in our rotation. And, you know, we all have, you know, similarities, but we all have differences as well. And we're all good in ways that nobody would know. And just going out there and being that guy to help our team win the last game, to win the series is just it's an unbelievable feeling, and it feels great.
Head coach Jeff Mercer took several questions from the media and spoke in detail, particularly about the team's offensive success.
Coach, congratulations on the series win.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It wasn't easy, was it?
I want to actually ask a very specific situation. You had first and second with the Crumba up at the plate. The corner infielders were playing pretty far back. Did you consider bunting in that situation, given Ethan's speed? Obviously, it turned out rather well for you the way it worked out. But yeah.
No, honestly, I pinch hit him the at bat before, just how sudden and how physical he is. And I thought he was a good matchup for the guy before, just with the fastball. And I thought the breaking ball was recognizable, softer. And I thought he would get a fastball. The guy before didn't throw a breaking ball for a strike consistently. And so I thought he would get a fastball to hit. And he's so sudden and he's so strong. And with the wind blowing, I thought he might be able to change the game the at bat before, obviously not knowing he's going to come back around again. But that was kind of the mindset going into the previous at bat. And then so then once the two guys were on, realistically, you never think like, hey, hit a three-run homer. But I thought that was an option for him, to drive those guys in by himself and not have to get to the next guy. So just the way he's been taking BP, the way he's been swinging in practice, just really working. I thought a fastball dominant guy that kind of showed the off speed early. I thought he could recognize it and get a fastball and try to do some damage with it. And then once two guys got on, again, had no you know concept of him hitting his first home run, a 3-run homer like that, but did think it was a possibility and really liked the matchup for him. And to his credit, he did it. It was a really special moment, obviously for him and his family, but also for the team. So that was kind of the thought process going behind it. But that's a great question because he is such an elite runner.
John and Tom.
It's just to follow up on that. I mean, how big was that home run? Just because obviously they get a runner at second down by one in the ninth. And then just for him personally, just considering how his season's gone, how much of a confidence boost do you think this can be for him to kind of ride off that moment?
Yeah, it's huge for him. It was huge for the team, you know, in that moment. We had a base running mistake, and it kind of lets a little bit of the air out of the sails there as you're going. And so for those guys to extend, obviously, two out walk, two out single, and then for him to come up in that moment, be on go, ready to go. We spent a lot of time, you know, talking about and preparing for guys, runners in scoring position, being ready to go for a pitch that we can handle and not, you know, a guy wants to try to settle in on, you know, the pitcher wants to settle into an at bat. And oftentimes the first couple of pitches are pitches that you're just the best one to hit, and not letting that guy settle in. He's able to go up there and execute a plan really, really well and allow his physical ability to take over. So for us, it was huge. You know, Iowa's offense is incredible. And I don't say that very often, being an offensive guy myself, but what Coach Eller and those guys do with their offense is really special. And it really is something to watch. I'd rather watch it from, like, not in the opposing dugout, from somebody else's dugout or from home. But they just keep coming. They just keep coming and coming at the end of the ninth. So that moment was a game changing moment for us and for him too. So Ethan's an incredible kid. He's a great worker. He just keeps showing up and keep working. And, you know, that's the importance of continuing to evaluate throughout the week, every week. And for us and our mindset is if you show up and do the work throughout the week and you're good throughout the week, you go to the top of the list, you go to the top of the line. And when those opportunities are given, you know, you have to go in and capitalize. And he did that today. And even the first at bat, he gets a two-strike count, hits a ball towards a six hole, hard 90, and the guy throws him out, bang, bang, play. But putting the ball in play with two strikes, and it was huge for him, and obviously it was huge for us as well.
Tom and then Griffin.
Jeff, a month ago when Colin was hitting 067, you didn't really say you cared much because his value was much more from the defense and pitching and such. But now he just basically keeps ripping doubles into the gap every game. What is it about what has changed with him? Is it footwork, bat speed, mechanics? What, I mean, he's just tearing the cover off the ball right now.
Yeah, if he were to give us some offensive production, that we would definitely take it. And he's able to do that. A couple of things. One, we simplified his setup. You'll see him go with the bat on the shoulder, simplified his setup, and really tried to give him better direction in more of a directive. Like if you can just hit a single into center field once a game, if you can take a walk, if you can take a hit by pitch, if you can move the ball in the middle of the field and not feel like you have to do a bunch offensively, just play to your strengths, just do your job. And tried to spend time with him, and you just don't need to carry the weight of it. And I think that for him, he's such a dutiful person by nature. And sometimes we feel like our duty is to do a lot. Well, it's like, I can really catch and I do a great job, but man, I want to really hit. I want to help us win. It's like, you're just not going to do it all by yourself. So can you do the really simple things to allow yourself to potentially have more success? And then the second thing is one of the assistant coaches brought him aside and said, would you think about moving from a 34-inch bat to a 33-inch bat to have a little bit more barrel control, a little stronger with your top hand? And he made an adjustment from a 34-inch bat to a 33-inch bat. And I think the combination of those two things, you make all the difference. And I also think as he's able to settle in and play a more consistent role, he doesn't feel like he has to press. And he's been able to secure that job and not feel like he has to do so much. And when a player gets settled and gets confident that he's going to be out there, you know, for the primary part of it, he's able to just not feel like he has to do too much. So I say, I think probably those three things, making some simplifications in his swing, in his approach, the 34 to 33 inch bat. And then the third thing, kind of securing the job, allows him to relax and settle in and not feel like he has to press to earn an everyday job.
Griffin and then Aaron.
Hey Coach, I know you've talked a little bit about the development of players and finding a lineup, and clearly you've found, you know, a starting nine now for nine straight games, and it's working to have these same guys out here. When was it? Was there a series, a moment where you settled on nine guys? How challenging, I guess, was it to maybe stick with some of these guys that weren't always hitting? And what impact, I mean, you mentioned it for Colin, but for all these guys and for the whole lineup, that they know every single day, everyone knows their role.
I think it's critical. I think it's critical. You know, competition is very important, obviously, in all of our lives. We can all be replaced in everything that we do. And so it is important throughout the course of the work year, the fall and the winter and the early spring and the beginning of the season, to have competition and to know you have to show up and work every day. And there are players that deserve the opportunity to show what they can do on a consistent basis. Once you begin to show what you're capable of doing, and once you're able to see during the work week what a guy does in practice and situations that you put him in, you need to try to settle on a lineup. Like you said, to be consistent, to be confident, to not have to always look over your shoulder. Now you have to continue to work. And we're always throughout the course of the week having a conversation about if we like what we're doing and if we like who we're doing it with. And but no one, you know, I kind of use the example with the coaches and the players. I hit fourth for a long time. That's what I did. I hit fourth. And I knew every day when I showed up, I hit fourth. And I remember one day I ended up hitting third. And it just kind of, I don't know why, but I got different pitches. There was a guy on first base more often than a guy on second or third. And so oftentimes, you know, I got pitched, you know, very differently. I got more fastballs in. I got more double play pitch types. And I didn't handle that as well. I was better hitting fourth with guys on second or second and third or what have you. So I ended up not doing as well and got moved back to four and felt comfortable. And I always try to keep that in mind as I'm shuffling the lineups and locations in the lineups, that it's hard to feel like you can do the job that you need to do in your role if your coach is playing musical chairs every day. But so that's a balancing act as a coaching staff, one, to honor the work the guys have put in throughout the year and give them an opportunity to prove what they can do. But once they start to prove it, you need to settle in and allow those guys to be comfortable and confident and to go out and compete. But I think it plays up for the continuity of the club. I think you begin to be able to do your job better when you know what your job is daily. And the games are important. You know, the what you learn, the experiences you learn through the course of the games are really important and valuable as you learn and grow throughout it. So we'll continue to have competition. We will. You can't get terribly comfortable, but you should be able to know if I continue to do my job, I show up, I play really good defense, I take care of the ball, I run the bases hard, have quality at bats. If you've earned the job, then you should feel comfortable having that job that day until you prove otherwise.
Aaron and then Carl.
Coach, congratulations. It's official. You're back in the Big Ten lead now. My question is how much would it help that pitching change was made in the eighth? It obviously we can't see another manager's mind, but he pulled a guy who has a really low ERA for a guy with a high ERA. So how much of McCrumba, Culpepper's single and McCrumba's home run were a result of the pitching change?
That's a great question. I don't know. I thought that reliever, he obviously statistically showing today, I think he has been their primary fourth starter, has good numbers throughout. But there's a wall that everybody hits, and there's a pitch count that everybody hits where it's like he's run out of gas. The velo starts to drop. His breaking ball got softer. It was rolling a little bit more. The velo was down a little bit. And so, you know, Rick Heller is a terrific coach, a guy I have a great personal relationship with and has had a great coaching career. And so he obviously feels like in that moment that the stuff is beginning to fall enough where the matchup is better to have a guy that is fresh out of there. So, you know, it worked out for us today in that moment, but the guy that they took out could have very easily, you know, as his stuff kind of deteriorates respectfully because he threw really well for several innings there. It didn't have the stuff to be able to beat some of those guys. And sometimes you feel like just a fresh look is needed and it didn't work out for them in that moment. And we're fortunate, but it could have very easily gone the other way. It very easily could have.
Carl, then Teddy Cahill.
Coach, I wanted you to reflect a little bit on Grant Richardson, specifically the small things he did today. He had a swinging bunt that caused some action. He had an actual bunt for a base hit. And then he looked like he had some pretty nice distractions over there at third base right before Barr crushed that ball.
Yeah, he did. And the one that I think about too is the triple to right center on a 2-0 left-handed slider. And that's something he's really worked hard on, is being more balanced and handling left-handed off-speed pitches better to the middle of the field sometimes. So kind of rush to the front side and get around it. And as you guys know, the angles just don't work left on left when you get to your front side and over top of it like that. So that was a big moment too. It's funny you mentioned that, Carl. It's the getting down the line against the lefty was something that we intentionally practiced this week, and we practiced stealing home against those guys. And so that was a moment where if it was legitimately an option for us to steal home there, if we felt like he could get the jump down the line, and it did. Like it was something that got in his peripheral vision. He stepped off and bluffed to third base. But if the moment, if we have the right guy, you look at Cole and Jeremy and Grant and a couple of those guys, if they get a jump at third base, especially against a lefty, It's something that we'll do. We'll steal home if given the opportunity to do that. So Grant's the consummate teammate. He's always thinking. He's always asking. He's always working. The push bunt is something that he's added to his repertoire. And I always tell him, if you get in a situation where you're uncomfortable, especially left on left, if you get a situation where you're uncomfortable, that's a weapon that you have to utilize, and you have to trust yourself to do that. It's nearly indefensible, especially if the second baseman's playing in his true position or slightly to the middle, which I think the second baseman was a bit on the true side of his positioning. It's just a really difficult play to manage. Lefty falling off, the first baseman has to come down. Second baseman's going to be late. It's almost a guaranteed hit if you can force the first baseman to come over, second baseman to have to slide down. So it's something that he works on. If you watch Grant's work, you would see like a great pride in his ability to bunt, especially to the push bunt in those situations. And baseball is about countering. It's about move and counter move. So it's first about he's swinging bunt, right? Not a blistered ball in the gap. He's uncomfortable. And to be able to use that push bunt was a really game-changing moment and opened it up and said, you're just not going to be able to stand out there and shove left-handed sliders down my throat all day today because I'll just take the push bunt. And later in the ball game, he doubles a ball in the gap. You have to think a little bit in the back of that guy's mind is like, he will do this. Let's make sure that I'm ready to pop off the mound, and maybe hangs a little bit, and Grant stung it and did a really good job. So really smart kid, really invested in learning and growing and impacting the game in more ways than just one. And that's what it takes to be a great ball player. You know, they don't say, man, this guy's just a great hitter. This guy's just a great, there's only one DH. You got to be a great overall player. And Grant does a lot of things to impact us in a positive way.
All right, we've got time for three more. We're going to go Teddy, Matthew, and then wrap up with Tom.
Jeff, it's been a while since you've been in a series like this one where you lose on Friday. What did you learn about the team to see them come back and win the next two?
That's a great question. You know, it's we've begun to really gel as a group, and I think the mentality of just coming in waves, and we have to be able to recover. And you can't take a momentary loss and make it a long-term setback. And I think you'll learn that in the Ohio State series. Now, whatever happens down the stretch here happens down the stretch, whether we win or we lose, we're going to find out. But when you have a moment where you do lose and you do falter and you have to pick yourself up off the mat and you don't have a choice, you either roll over and die and give up, or you have to get up off the mat and go back to work. And so when you have moments like that and you have to get up, then you feel like you can do it again and again and again. And until you experience that, sometimes losing, it can be a positive. Now, I'd rather not lose four if you could avoid it, to learn that lesson. But I think when you learn those lessons and you learn that you are tough enough and you are capable enough and you are powerful enough to pull yourself up and continue to move forward, you find a way on a Friday, you lose a Friday and say, let's find a way to win tomorrow and let's find a way to win the series. You know, if you go through and you win the series, each weekend, you're going to have a chance to win the league. And that's what you have to keep in mind when those things happen. You lose on Friday, fine. The goal is to still win the weekend. And if the goal is to win the weekend, we can't do that until we win tomorrow. And you got to show up and go. And I also think as a coaching staff, you can't be emotional. You lost one game. You're going to have more. That's a great thing about it. It's cliche, but there's going to be another game coming. And you need to show up and keep going. So as a staff, you can't get emotional. You can't jump up and down. You just got to go back to work. What do we have to do to make an adjustment? How do we go back to work today? You know, what can we do to help them be better? And then go do it and find a way to be competitive the next day. And this team is, again, whatever happens the rest of the season, but we are beginning to find our identity to a degree with some toughness and some resiliency.
Matthew, and then wrap up with Tom.
Hey, Coach, congratulations on the win today. You touched on this a bit, but Richardson went 3-for-5 today, and he's hitting .336 on the year. And it seems like he's been consistent week in, week out. What does it mean for the success of the team to have a guy as consistent as he's been this season?
Well, it's huge. It's huge when you've got guys that like he and Cole and Drew and even Paul to a degree, where they can kind of anchor a lineup and you know what you're going to get. And you don't have to hit .400. You don't have to carry the whole load. Just can you be the same guy every day? And when the team can look at a player like Grant in the middle of the field, that's able to impact the game in a lot of different ways. Okay, we know we're going to get from Grant that he's going to show up. He's going to have four or five really competitive at bats. He's going to play good center field. He's going to run the bases well. and you know what you're going to get. So it's like, I don't have to carry Grant's weight. You know, I talk to the guys a lot. It's like, if we were going to try to carry 1,000 pounds collectively as a group, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to have one guy carry 500 and then we split 500 pounds from the rest of us. Just carry your 5 pounds or your 10 pounds. And that's what Grant does. He shows up, carries his weight, does his job. I don't have to do Grant's job. I just do mine. And you know what you're going to get every day. I think maybe one of the best compliments you can get as a baseball player is that you are a consistent, trustworthy player. It's like, you just show up. You know what you're going to get as a teammate. You know what you're going to get as a coach. Whether you get the hits, you don't get the hits, you're just going to get the same guy every day. And that's what Grant has become as a young man, is a consistent player. And then the success follows those things because he is a talented player. And I think we have several of those guys that have proven themselves to be consistently trustworthy in their role and their jobs.
All right. Wrap us up, Tom.
All right. I have two questions, so I'll ask them quickly. And hopefully if you have time, you can answer them both. The bulldog mentality of Gabe Bierman, I mean, how much does that help him sort of be that Sunday win a series guy? And two, the decision to go with Matt for 2 innings and what you saw out of the results of that?
Yeah, Gabe was terrific again, and the toughness really showed itself. You know, we should have turned double play ball in the first inning. Ball hits the kip. That should have been a 2-ball. It's not. It leads to a run. You know, we have an error there in the, I don't remember what, the fourth inning to with 2 outs and nobody on. We have an error. Goes to a walk, they end up scoring a run. But Gabe is able to manage himself, his emotions, to not allow an inning to get away from him. And that's huge. If you give up one, you can find a way to win. If you give up five, it becomes a lot more difficult to find a way to win a game, obviously. And that's what Gabe does. And that's really that. It's his upbringing. It's his mentality, where he just continues to compete all the way through. No matter the surroundings, no matter if a guy makes an error, I got to go back. All I can do now is execute the next pitch I'm going to go throw. And Gabe's done a really good job with the guidance of Coach Barker on being able to stay focused on that piece. Whatever I can do, I just got to do what I can do and not allow the moment to get bigger than it really is. Guy hits a 2-run homer late, he's right back in and finishes the inning. And so it's huge. It's huge for us, again, to know what we're going to get from the person, not necessarily the player. You know, the velo may be 91, 94 one day and 88, 91 the next day. The stuff can come and go, but the person has to be consistent. And that's what Gabe has become. He's become a young man and he's consistent. And that mentality gives him a chance to show up every day and it allows us to settle in and find a way to win a series there today, obviously. And then Matt, you know, Matt's been really good. Matt's been really good overall. I know it was a little bit of an extended outing for him. We used all of the bullpen this weekend, as you guys can see by the box scores. We used all the bullpen. We had one more guy up and ready to go. We were going to go to Reese Sharp in the ninth for the save. And Matt came in and said, hey, I feel really good. I'm ready to go. The reality was we wanted to put, at that time, I think it was a 2-run lead. Was it a 2-run lead? It was a 4-run lead when he goes in the eighth. It's kind of the idea that that's our best guy in the most high leverage inning, which is going to be the eighth at this moment. So let's just use our best guy in the eighth, and then we can use somebody else to close it. And obviously we'll talk to Matt and see how he feels. So that was the idea initially, was to go to Matt in the eighth, go the eighth, try to get to the ninth with the lead there, and then go to Reese. And he came in, he's like, I'm telling you, I feel great. I feel really good. And he's our guy. So when he comes in and says, I feel really good, Hopkins comes in and says, you know, stuff's good, velo's good. You know, we still got to see as a slider, all those different things. Then we're gonna tip our cap and trust in him and say, like, you got it, man, go finish this thing. And he was able to do that.
The Indiana Hoosiers next travel to Piscataway, New Jersey to take on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights and the Nebraska Cornhuskers in a pod. Nebraska is only a half a game behind the Hoosiers for the Big Ten standings, and Rutgers has been very hot lately, coming off of a series win at Michigan and a series sweep at Nebraska.